Shall we pray? Yes, Lord, the saints and angels song. Oh, your great love, wherewith you have loved us. Father, we thank you for that great love and giving us your Son like we heard this morning already. Thank you, Father, for saving our souls. And thank you, Lord, that you, I trust that you've caused us to remember this morning of that great salvation wherewith you have saved us and redeemed us and redeemed our life from destruction and crowned us with loving kindness and tender mercies. Father, we thank you this morning and bless your name. We thank you for Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for giving your life as a living sacrifice for our sins. Thank you for cleansing us and washing us from our sins in your blood. Lord, we praise you this morning. And Father, we do pray that you would be with us in this part of the service. Oh God, let this be a continuation of what we heard this morning, that we call to remembrance the great and mighty works of God in our hearts, individually and corporately as a church here. Oh Father, we love you, we praise you, and we yield our lives to you, a living sacrifice to be used for your glory. In Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. Turn your Bibles this morning to Psalms 145. Welcome to everyone. Welcome to all the visitors. And so good to be in the house of the Lord with the family of God. It's just such a blessing to be a part of each other through the faith that is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Psalms 146 is what I wanted to read right now. It says here, praise ye the Lord. Praise the Lord, O my soul. While I live, will I praise the Lord. I will sing praises unto my God while I have any being. Put not your trust in princes, nor in the son of man, in whom there is no help. His breath goeth forth, he returneth to his earth. In that very day his thoughts perish. Happy is he that hath the God of Jacob for his help, whose hope is in the Lord his God. I love that verse. Happy is he that hath the God of Jacob for his help, which made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that therein is, which keepeth truth forever, which executeth judgment for the oppressed, which giveth food to the hungry. The Lord looseth the prisoners. The Lord openeth the eyes of the blind. The Lord raiseth those that are bowed down. The Lord loveth the righteous. The Lord preserveth the strangers. He relieveth the fatherless and widow. But the way of the wicked he turneth upside down. The Lord shall reign forever, even thy God, O Zion, unto all generations. Praise ye the Lord. Now let's turn our Bibles to Psalms 107. And I'll read the first 8 verses. Psalms 107. O give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy. And gathered them out of the lands from the east, Brother Jeff, and from the west, from the north, and from the south. They wandered in the wilderness in a solitary way. They found no city to dwell in. Hungry and thirsty, their soul fainted in them. Then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them out of their distresses. And he led them forth by the right way, that they might go to a city of habitation. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness and for His wonderful works to the children of men. Let's just read verse 6 again. Then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and He delivered them out of their distresses. And I'll turn back to Psalms 145. Call to remembrance, like Brother Jeff shared this morning. He executes, verse 7. He executeth judgment for the oppressed. Was there a day when you were oppressed and now you are free in Christ? which giveth food to the hungry. Were you hungry and thirsty for spiritual life? And we're not able to find it until you found Christ. Your need has been met. Call to remembrance. The Lord looseth the prisoners. Were you in the prison house of sin and bondage to Satan? Once in your life, call to remembrance what God has done. The Lord openeth the eyes of the blind. Were you once blind, going your own way? Blind to spiritual life, not seeing spiritual things. Blind, just moving about, no goal and no focus in life. Call to remembrance those days. The life that you now have in Christ Jesus, your Lord. He raises those, the Lord raises those that are bowed down. The Lord loveth the righteous. And then he says in verse 10, the Lord shall reign forever, even thy God, O Zion, unto all generations, praise ye the Lord. So I have a, Brother Jeff, the message is Jesus died for even me. I'd like to just take us down, I'd like to go through the chapter there in Isaiah 53, and then I'd like to share my personal testimony this morning of Jesus' salvation in my life, and then give you opportunity. Jeff, I had this all planned. I mean, Jeff and I didn't share with each other, but I'd like to give you all opportunity this morning to share, to call to remembrance what God has done in your soul and in your heart and in your life. And allow you then to share your testimony, some of you, and you know, maybe for a few minutes, just in brief, but I'd like us to call to remembrance what Jesus has done in our lives this morning, just like Brother Jeff was sharing, and give you opportunity to personally share what the Lord has done. He says there in Psalms, let me just turn to that again before I go into Isaiah 53. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom He hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy. And I think this morning also of the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. Maybe there's someone here this morning who needs to hear what God has done in your heart, giving that person hope for his own soul. The testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. And revelations. So let's turn to it. Let's turn our Bibles now to Isaiah 53. The title of the message is, like I already shared, Jesus died for even me. Think about yourself. For even me, Jesus died. But I can have this life that I now have of peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. Jesus died for even me. Isaiah chapter 53. I'll go through that chapter and then I'll be sharing my testimony afterwards. And let's just be a family this morning, bonded together by the cross of Jesus Christ, like Brother Jeff already shared with us. Chapter 53 of Isaiah, who has believed our report, and to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant and as a root out of a dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness, and when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. That's our Lord Jesus Christ. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. You know, it just touches my heart this morning as I think of Jesus. A man of sorrows, acquainted with grief, yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. We esteemed him as one of those who did not come from God, as we see through the Gospels there. Let's read verse 3 again. He is despised and rejected, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised and we esteemed him not. even we ourselves did not esteem our Lord Jesus Christ. We've seen Him as a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief many, many ways, yet we did not esteem Him. We pushed Him out of our lives when we were still living in sin. Surely He has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. We looked at Him as one who God chastised because of his own sin and unrighteousness. We believed, we sinners believed He was stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. We pushed Him away as one that was unrighteous and unholy. Yet He carried our griefs and bore our sorrows. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon Him, and with His stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on Him the iniquity of us all. There we were, going our own way, pushing Jesus aside, turning into our own path, our own ways, our own thoughts, and our own desires and ambitions. Yet He carried our griefs, and He bore our, He was wounded for our transgressions. Yet we were, like it says there in Psalms 107, many of us were rebelliously going our own way. Yet the tender mercies of the Lord but were after us, followed after us, unto the salvation of our soul. All we like sheep have gone astray, yet the Lord hath laid on Him the iniquity of us all, our iniquity, our rebellion, all of our sin and grievances that we so grievously transgressed against our Lord were laid upon Jesus. And furthermore, we pushed Him out of our lives, esteemed Him stricken, smitten of God, afflicted, wanted nothing to do with Christ. Yet He bore our transgressions and was wounded for them. Verse 7, He was oppressed and was afflicted, yet He opened not His mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shears is dumb, so He openeth not His mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment, and who shall declare His generation? For He was cut off out of the land of the living. For the transgression of my people was He stricken. And in verse 7, we see here that He was just quietly went through life, through His life on the earth. Yes, people mocked Him and ridiculed Him, but He was like a lamb, like Brother Jeff shared this morning. As a lamb before her shears is dumb. He didn't resist. He didn't get all frustrated and angry and upset and allowed His heart and spirit and soul to go into turmoil with what He was going through. But He just quietly went through the cross for the salvation of our soul. Quietly went through that cross, not resisting. Yes, the cup was heavy. The cup was almost too much for Him to bear. He was there in the Garden of Gethsemane, and He said, "Lord, let this cup pass from me." But yet He realized all the souls that would be saved through the path that he was to take through the cross. And He went through it for you and for I. He said, "Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done." And through the cross He went, as was pictured this morning. He was taken from prison, like I've already read in verse 8. And I think we could explain that as He was... I'm sorry. He was pronounced so wicked that even he did not have a chance in with a fair trial. He was taken from judgment. Rather than putting him into prison, they nailed him to a cross, which was the cruelest punishment of the day. He was taken from prison and from judgment, never having a fair trial, and was given the cruelest punishment of that day, which was being crucified on a cruel cross. And who shall declare his generation? He was cast out as one who would be forgotten. That's what the Pharisees and Jews thought. For he was cut off out of the land of the living. For the transgression of my people was he stricken. And he made his grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death, because he had done no violence, neither was any deceit in his mouth. And I believe that because could be replaced with a yet. Yet he had done no violence. His grave was made with the wicked of the day. And with the rich, with those people that were considered, you know, unrighteous. His grave was made with those people. Yet he had done no violence, neither was any deceit in his mouth. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him, my brother, my sister. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him for you and for I. Call to remembrance, like we've already heard. For you and for I, Jesus was bruised. For you and for I, he was wounded. For you and for I, he bore the cross. Went through that cross. Yes, though he prayed those words, let this cup pass from me. It was a painful cup. Yet he was willing to move through the cross and to do his Father's will. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed, he shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. I think this may be speaking of his resurrection. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, God, I think it's saying there, he shall see his seed, he shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. And that's why we can experience salvation through Christ. Even though it took place 2,000 years ago, the pleasure of the Lord is prospering in Christ's hand, even yet today. His salvation is coming upon the seed of Abraham, the Jews, and us Gentiles who have been grafted in also. He shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days. The resurrection and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see of the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. You know, the Father's heart was satisfied through Christ's death. Thank God for the death of Jesus Christ. Through the death of Jesus, through that sacrifice, that perfect sacrifice, Jesus never sinned. Not once. He was that spotless Lamb of God that John spoke about and said, "Behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. Through my righteous servant shall many..." How does it say there? "By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities." Has Jesus borne your iniquities this morning? Call to remembrance. Those former days when you were still in your sin, having no hope and without Christ. But Jesus has borne your iniquities and carried your griefs and bore your sorrows, and through that today you are sitting here righteous. Through that you are sitting here today, and across your life is stamped righteous. And you have peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. It's through Jesus bearing our iniquities and being wounded for our transgressions. Verse 12, therefore will I divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong. Because he hath poured out his soul unto death, and he was numbered with the transgressors, and he bore the sin of many and made intercession for the transgressors. And I think it's through, you know, it's simply bringing out here that it's, therefore will I divide him a portion with the great. It's through that death of Jesus Christ that he was willing to go through that his name has become great. Like it says there in Philippians, he humbled himself even to the death of the cross. Therefore God hath highly exalted him and given him a name that is above every name. Every knee should bow and every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. And he shall divide the spoil with the strong. And I just simply see that meaning that he receives to himself the spoil of the enemy. Those things that the enemy had a hold of in our lives, and those things that the enemy had, those things that the enemy had us in grip and bondage to, Jesus has spoiled, like it says in Philippians, he has spoiled principalities and powers and made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. And Jesus has received this spoil unto himself. And redeemed us from our destructions. Redeemed us out of our bondages, out of our sin, out of all of our rebellion, and out of all of our own ways. He has redeemed us unto himself, a peculiar people. How does it go? A peculiar people, and now we have become a royal priesthood and holy nation, that we might show forth the praises of Him who has called us out of darkness into His marvelous light. That we might show forth the praises. So call to remembrance this morning, my brother and sister, all that Jesus has done in your heart and in your life. So as we think this morning of Him being wounded for our transgressions, Him bearing our sorrows, Him being delivered up to the cross for our iniquities, I would just like you to go back into your life and think of where you were at and where Jesus has brought you from. Through the cross. Through His cross. Through His willing to go through that cross. Through His willingness to go through that death that Brother Jeff shared with us already. Through Him being willing to be mocked and counted as the off-scouring of the earth. Through all of that, you sit here redeemed this morning. You sit here a child of God. You sit here with peace and joy in your heart. You sit here, and across your life is stamped righteous. You sit here prepared for eternity. Through all that Jesus has gone through. Through all His suffering and His death. You sit here. A child of God. I just want you to think back into your life and think of all that Jesus has brought you from and out of. How He's redeemed you, made you whole, given you peace, a life worth living, a life with purpose and meaning. It's all because of Christ. All because of Him. Your life would be utterly in sin and darkness and destruction today, that would not be for Jesus Christ and what He has done in your soul and in your heart and in your life. It's all through Jesus Christ and His death. So think, and then I'll give opportunity in a little while for some to share and open up their hearts and what Jesus means to them and has done in their hearts and in their lives. So I'd just like to share my personal testimony this morning. I guess, you know, as I just sat here weeping this morning as the song were being sung and we were singing on about the death and the cleansing blood of Christ, and I just had to think of all that Jesus has brought me from in my life, out of that depression and discouragement and out of all of my bondage. And And I thank God that I stand here before you whole this morning, at rest in Jesus. Perfect rest in Christ. Rest. Peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. So I'd just like to share a little bit, and like I said, I'll open it up for others after my testimony here. But as you know, I grew up Amish, and I was at, during my school days, I felt whole, I should say. You know, I was kind of popular at school and had good grades and was able to play good softball and all of that. And I had a godly mother who trained me and taught me the ways of the Lord. She taught me to not mock our teachers and to not be involved. And she began to train me in the things of Christ concerning what the Amish young people were involved in. And she began to train me on what true salvation is all about. At an early age, she was converted. Even though my mother was Amish, at the time she was converted, and she was, and I attribute much to my mother and to all that she taught me in those early years on what true salvation is all about. She taught me clearly that it's not in the Amish, it's not in works, it's not in the Amish church, it's not in keeping the standards of the church, but she taught me clearly in those early days what salvation in Christ Jesus and belief in Him is and what it means to us personally. So during my school days, I had, like I said, I was free. I was just a free child. And I felt free in spirit and happy and joyful. But there came a day in my school days, and I don't understand it all to this day, except there came a day when I was at school one day, and all of a sudden this fear came over me. This tremendous fear, so much that I was reading in the class at the time and I couldn't. I stumbled over the words and the teacher even noticed it and said, you know, maybe the class can start reading in sentences instead of paragraphs. And ever after that, there was a haunting fear in my heart. That, you know, there was just a haunting fear that when I would get up to read in front of the class or in front of the teacher and even at home in Sunday school that my mom had with us children, there was that haunting fear that I would again go into some of that, that fear would somehow grip me and clam me up again, and hold me in its grip. So that fear followed me. And at age 14, I was saved. My mother led me through to salvation, and this was after the fear came upon me. She led me through to salvation in Jesus Christ. And I remember that day very clearly, just my mother coming to me and explaining the plan of salvation and asking me, "Do you want to receive Christ into your life, son?" And I was ready. I was ready to receive Christ as my personal Lord and Savior. And I thank God today that I believe that was the time I got saved. But again, I didn't face those fears. I didn't realize that, you know, I had to come out with everything. And in order to be really set free indeed, I hid those fears. I didn't share them with mom and I didn't share them with anyone. And then furthermore, I had some moral areas that I had needs in. So I struggled. I struggled right from the beginning, almost, of my salvation. I believed Jesus saved me. I had desires toward God. I had desires to serve the Lord. But there was that crippling fear that would just keep me under. And so I began to doubt my salvation. And then the doubts further, through the teenage years. Well, I was with the Amish youth for 1 year. And God kept me during that year. Even, you know, my father wanted me to be Amish. And so I went with the Amish young people for 1 year, and of course they're involved in their drinking and carousing and dancing and card playing and all of that. I was in that, but God kept me. I thank the Lord to this day. He kept me from all of that. During those years, I was able by His grace to stand. I came home many weekends discouraged, very discouraged, because I was still struggling with doubts of salvation and being around those wicked people, youth all weekend just discouraged me. Coming home at 4 or 5 in the morning, it was just discouraging, very discouraging. By age 17, that was age 16 through 17, I was with the Amish youth, and then at age 17, I just seen I couldn't go on any longer. And so during that time, I learned to know a good Christian friend who had just left the Amish church, and we became friends. And it was kind of through that I was led, I gradually drifted over into a Mennonite church here that was able then to help me spiritually. And I removed myself from the Amish church there. But even though I was blessed spiritually in many ways, these doubts would continue to follow me. Doubts of salvation, and then it went on to doubts of the existence of God. But I was ever fearful to come out with them. Just fearful. I was so fearful to come out lest someone think I'm crazy. I mean, I realize that in the Christian realm, even though the Amish don't believe in assurance of salvation, I realized in the Christian realm, the true Christian realm, that they believed in assurance. And that they believed that they knew they were saved. And so I thought, my, if I come out with these fears, if I come out with these doubts, I mean, they won't think I'm a Christian, or they'll think I'm crazy for doubting my salvation. And furthermore, doubting the existence of God. I had those struggles also, and just thoughts going through my mind. And so through my teenage years, I lived in a low-lying depression. And then I was going to the Mennonite church, and then Brother Wayne Weaver had some meetings, which we've all heard his name probably, had some meetings over where Charity started at here in New Holland. And through that, I was able to find a sense of freedom, but yet not complete and full. Those were, after that, I began to recognize assurance of salvation in my life, and I began to move in that vein. But again, I didn't know how to handle the thoughts. Some of the thoughts of the existence of God would still just kind of want to cripple me and plague me. So during those years, I had a few good years there. And then my wife and I began to court. This was here at Charity. And soon after that, I fell into a deep depression. And I don't understand it all, except that I had not yet faced those thoughts. I was still in fear of those thoughts, and I was still didn't know how to handle them. And they came upon me in strength during that time, and I broke down and went through a long and painful depression, so much so that Barb and I had to break up for a whole year. And I look back at that and the horrors of depression, and yet the deliverance, and at the same time, the deliverance that Jesus has wrought in my heart and life. I thank God for Him. After a year and a half, through the Lord, and I would say some of my own willpower, I was able to, again, free myself enough from depression that Barb and I got married, and we moved on into married life and began to experience much joy in life. There was much joy in those married years, and there was much joy, even though I wasn't completely, totally free yet. I had a lot of joyful years, and at least a sense of freedom and a sense of victory. But during those years, I was still very conscious of the depression I had gone through and was very scared and afraid of it. I was so afraid of that thing that somehow these thoughts would again, and I struggled with these thoughts still going through my mind, and I was so afraid that somehow these thoughts would grip me again and pull me down into that pit. I was afraid. Many, and Barb can testify, many times if I was out on the job during the day and had a hard day with my thoughts and fears, and I would come home and I would walk right past her, right into our study. And, you know, I kind of had a method I would work to try to get through that depression. Because I was fearful that if I would share with her, the memory of those thoughts might grip me and bring me down. I just, you know, I always held them at bay, lest they somehow, you know, bring me under into that pit of depression again. And so I would often not share with her the thoughts and struggles I was facing. But I was able to go on until we got, then we were asked to go over to Africa. And many of you, you know, at least some of you were here during the time we went to Africa. And little did you know the struggles I faced. But I was, you know, I was determined. There was a lot of determination in me that, you know, I'm going to make something out of my life. And it was ignorance. I didn't do it on purpose. I wasn't purposefully, you know, keeping these things covered. I just thought that's the way to deal with it, is just, you know, pull yourself up by your own bootstraps and just hold that thing at bay there and determine in your will. And I would do a lot of that. Although the Lord, many times, I would cry out to Him and He was merciful and faithful to me and helping me also through those years, even though I was not totally free. So after that, after we went to Africa, as you all, many of you know, the 2.5 years there, they were a blessing in many ways. We look back with very fond memories, and again, it's the mercies of God that we had those blessed years there. But I always had those thoughts to deal with, and every once in a while I'd come under and have to get up, get myself into a place again where I felt free. And the Lord was faithful. Like I said, even through those years, there was that sense of freedom, but yet I, deep within, I sensed sometimes that something was wrong. But I didn't know how to deal with it because I was scared to go there. I was so afraid to go there. And that's what kept me in bondage and kept me from finding that freedom. I was afraid to deal with those issues. So in Africa, I was through the demand of mission life and through me having to deal with all these thoughts yet, I again broke down. I broke down into a depression again. And for 5 nights in a row in Africa, I wasn't able to sleep and I just broke down. I was afraid of losing my mind. All of those things were going through me. And of course, as many of you know, we had to come home finally. And I look at those years and I think, oh, the mercies of the Lord in continuing on with me. You know, I sat here weeping this morning just thinking of God not giving up on this vessel. Not giving up, but His tender mercies following after me. Ever gracious and kind, wanting to bring me into that wholeness and that complete freedom that is in Him. Ever following after me. I thank God for His mercies. Then, of course, when we came home, I still didn't know how to deal with these issues. I still did not know how. You know, I knew something was drastically wrong, but I didn't know how to go there. I was so afraid. Somehow this would, you know, even though I was depressed many times, I would still get up again and I would pick myself up and by the Lord's help, I must say God was there to pick me up again and take me on and for a while, but then I would falter and fumble and stumble again, and I knew something was wrong, and yet I didn't know what to do. I didn't know how to handle my past, the fears and the thoughts that still went with those fears. And so many times I didn't know what to do. I would cry out to the Lord, and He was faithful. And but God began to show me gradually that there was a way. God began to show me that if I'm willing to face the issues, if I'm willing to face those issues, if I'm willing to look them square in the face, trust His grace to come through as I deal with these issues. The fear, all the doubt, all the turmoil, all the things that I had never really looked at and even repented of. You know, God began to give me grace and began to help me to realize that those things needed attention. Those things needed to be looked at. And God began to work in my heart. Many of those years, I remember Brother Malin here, he would share with me a blessed promise of Scripture, a blessed verse there in Ephesians, and it was a source of hope for me. Many times our brother would just come along and say, "Mel, you're accepted in the Beloved." And that helped me many a time. And he would just say those words, that I am accepted in the Beloved. And I look back, I don't know all the thoughts that went through my mind, but I realize now how accepted I was, despite my fumblings and bumblings and all of those things that needed attention in my life. Yet Jesus accepted me just as I was. And I thank God for that. You know, I was not rebellious, but ignorant. And the Lord patiently dealt with me. And just, I began to open up more and more as He unveiled and shared with me and showed me the things I needed to face and look at in my personal life. But even then, it was just gradual. God was working. It was a very gradual thing. But the day came when I began to realize that it is Christ. Not I, but Christ. Like the Scripture says, Not I. Let's just turn to that Scripture in Galatians. Paul says, "Nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. Yes, I am crucified with Christ." That's what I wanted there. "I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ in me. The life that I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me." And I began to realize that. I remember one day when I was struggling again with thoughts and not knowing yet quite how to deal with those thoughts. Even though I was now facing them, still I would experience them, you know, sometimes, and they would come, and I would have to, you know, I would determine to push those things away, and I'm going to have victory in my life. And yet, the day came when the Lord showed me, "Mel, rest in me. Just acknowledge I can't do it." When I came to that place, there was peace. There was total peace of heart. And I can say that was about a year and a half ago. And even since then, many times I would revert into my old ways because, you know, I would kind of be shaky in this area of rest and think, well, I have to do something here, and I would use my own methods again, or some of my own ways that I was in, you know, used to using before. But God has brought me into a total and complete rest. Total and complete rest. And I thank God for that. You know, as I thought of, you know, it's made me realize the value, or how should I say, it's made me realize how much the death of Jesus really is to us and should mean to us. I appreciate in a new way all that Christ has done for me on the cross, because I came to the place I can't do it. And Christ has come through. Christ has come through with new life, new joy, and peace and rest. Yes, those thoughts still come my way at times, but there's rest. I realize, Lord, You've won the victory over that. instead of getting all worked up and all worked up and thinking I have to. And I know God gives us principles of His Word and spiritual warfare. By His Spirit, He leads us into those areas of our lives and into those principles that we need to get into sometimes, you know, concerning resisting the devil and all of that. But there's rest. There's just, I can't explain it all, but there is a peace and rest that the Lord is my shepherd. He will guide me. Yes, if there is a time when the devil is attacking me, and His wisdom is there to know how to handle that situation and know how to annihilate the devil from my life and how to remove him and get him to flee and all of those things. There is a sweet rest in Christ as we just bring ourselves to that place and say, Lord, I can't do it, but I trust You to come through. And Jesus is faithful, ever so faithful. So that's my testimony. It hasn't been, like I said, the entering into that rest, the entering into that full peace and joy and completeness that we should all be experiencing in Christ did not come easy. It was a gradual thing. It was a working through. But I have peace. And there is total rest and joy in Christ. And wholeness and completeness. And so that's my testimony. Jesus has meant so much to me. He has done all this for me. He died even for me with all those struggles and all those doubts and depression and fears that I went through. He has brought me forth into a beautiful place. He has brought me out of the miry clay, set my feet upon a rock and establish my goings. Let me say this yet. Wait patiently on Him. If you're at a place this morning, you're still working through things. David says, before he says, He delivered me out of an horrible pit, he says, I waited patiently for the Lord. So be patient with yourself. Be patient with God's working in your heart. Sometimes it's not easy to find that complete rest as you're dealing with issues and things in your life that God is working on. So that's my testimony. I'd just like to open it up now. Let's turn yet to Psalms 146. And then after that, I'd like to open it up to you all and make this a part of the message. I'd like to make this a part of this main message here. Maybe you could get the mics ready, Brother Robert. And Psalms 146. I'm sorry, this time it's 145. I will extol Thee, O my God, O King, and I will bless Thy name forever and ever. Every day will I bless Thee, and I will praise Thy name forever and ever. Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised, and His greatness is unsearchable. One generation shall praise Thy works to another, and shall declare Thy mighty acts. I will speak of the glorious honor of Thy majesty and of Thy wondrous works. And men shall speak of the might of Thy terrible acts, and I will declare Thy greatness. They shall abundantly utter the memory of Thy great goodness, Brother Jeff, and shall sing of Thy righteousness. The Lord is gracious and full of compassion, slow to anger and of great mercy. The Lord is good to all, and His tender mercies are over all His works. Think of His tender mercies over your life. All Thy works shall praise Thee, O Lord, and Thy saints shall bless Thee. They shall speak of the glory of Thy kingdom and talk of Thy power. To make known to the sons of men His mighty acts and the glorious majesty of His kingdom. Thy kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and Thy dominion endureth throughout all generations. The Lord upholdeth all that fall and raiseth up all those that be bowed down. The eyes of all wait upon Thee, and Thou givest them their meat in due season. Thou openest Thine hand and satisfiest the desire of every living thing. The Lord is righteous in all His works and holy in all His... The Lord is righteous in all His ways and holy in all His works. The Lord is nigh unto all that call upon Him. to all that call upon Him in truth. He will fulfill the desire of them that fear Him. He also will hear their cry and will save them. My brother and sister, this morning you're dealing with things in your life. He will hear your cry and will save you. He will fulfill the desire of them that fear Him. The Lord preserveth all them that love Him, but all the wicked will He destroy. My mouth shall speak the praise of the Lord, and let all flesh bless His holy name forever and ever. Amen. So I would just like to open it up to you all this morning. Is that fine, Brother Aaron? I might just stay up here as this make this a part of the main message here. Open up to you all to share what wonderful works God has done in your life, whether it's salvation or whether it's something that the Lord has done this week, or let's proclaim the wonderful works of the Lord. And let's remember what Brother Jeff shared, that we are bonded together by the cross of Jesus Christ. He has saved our souls. Yes, He's working in our hearts and lives. Let's share this morning. Bring to remembrance the former things of what Jesus has saved you from and how He has redeemed you out of your sins. So let's get the mics. While the mics are, get your hands up. Someone want to share? Let's. Who wants to start here? Okay, Brother Jerry. While the mic is coming, I just wanted to read this verse yet again in chapter 145. The Lord upholdeth all that fall and raises up all those that be bowed down. And I'm so grateful for the many times that I fell. Many times I fell. He raises up those that fall and brings up those that be bowed down. I have fallen many times, but the Lord's mercies were there. Go ahead, Brother Jeff. Jerry. Others, get your hands up, and we'll have a time of family sharing here.
I just want to praise the Lord. Is this on? I just want to praise the Lord this morning for His faithfulness and His long-suffering with me. As I think of my life, as I think where I've come from, where I've been, I was raised in a Hutterite colony, and I think of, looking back, I think of that almost like a horse that is harnessed to a buggy that has blinders on, and we were just taught that way. This is the way that you should go, and that's the right way. But as you were sharing, Mel, I shared a lot of those same fears, and a lot of the fears. The fear that I can really, that comes to my heart and my mind as I think of my life back then is the fear of death. You know, we were doing the right things, going the right places and wearing the right clothes and all that, but there was a constant fear of death in my life that I would always push away. I just didn't want to deal with it, and I was just pushing it away constantly. And as I grew older, got a family, got married, and got some children, that constant fear of death was there. I knew there has to be something more. And other people were seeing it, as I think back, other people must have seen it in my life, because when other people came to our colony and shared, I remember the first time I heard Brother Moses' name, he was visiting a family, and they said later on, "You should have been there, Jerry. You would have, you would have really loved this man." And so other people must have seen that. I didn't realize it was coming out, but there was this constant fear of death that we didn't want to deal with, and I was just struggling through that. Although things were going. We're going seemingly right in my life. My dad was a preacher, and he was a very dominant kind of a man that really had things in order and had us always under his thumb, so to speak. But there was this fear in my life. And I remember a friend coming, visiting us one time. I wasn't in the house, but he walked in and visited with my wife a while, and he said, "If you find time, listen to these." And he gave her a bunch of tapes, and he left and went down to the barn to look me up. And we were just sharing there, and he said, "We had a beautiful a wonderful evening a couple of nights ago, sharing with a friend. We shared about the New Testament all evening. It was just wonderful. You would have loved it. And I said, I would have loved it. What do I... You know, we can talk about the Old Testament. There's a lot of stories there that are exciting, but talking about the New Testament, it bothered me. Even after he left for days, it bothered me that here we are supposedly Christians living in the New Testament, yet what would I share all the evening? And that really bothered me. It drove me for days. It went through my mind and I pondered it. And I started really getting a hunger for the Word, but the Word was kind of dead and dry, so I started listening to those tapes with my wife. And through that, I just praise the Lord that He opened up my heart to see my... I saw my need there, that I didn't have what these people have. It was just a... We just had a form of godliness and no power there. So, through those tapes, through those messages, God broke me in a place where I came to Him continually. I was working in those barns, and I would repent. I would think of something and repent of it and continually come. And I just know the day that I got down on my knees, yet repenting again and getting up, and just that weight falling from my shoulders. And that day, I can remember that so clearly, that day when God just took that burden away, that fear away of dying. And it's been a new day.
Amen.
Ever since then,
Amen.
It's been a new day. Amen. I cannot say that there's been, you know, that today that I am at a place where I'm totally clear. I wish I could say that. You know, discouragement sets in sometimes, but it has been a new day. And I have that hope and that in my heart, and I know I've been redeemed. I know I've been washed in the blood and all that. But it's still it's a fight, but it's...
Amen.
I'm rejoicing today of what God has done, His faithfulness.
Amen, Jerry. Praise the Lord. Amen. Where's the sister here? Susie? Can you get up? Or can we get up this morning? if it's possible.
This morning, something came to my remembrance here in the service that just really blessed me again, and I felt like I was supposed to share it, that maybe it could encourage somebody else. It was a time that I was in deep, overwhelmed with grief and despair, and I didn't feel like I could go on living. And I remember where I was standing in my kitchen. I was crying out to the Lord, and He said to me, He said, when I was walking, carrying the cross up to Calvary, I thought of you. I knew you would need me in this year, 1985. And I kept on walking. It was such of an awesome new thought to me that I wasn't born yet, and that He would have thought of me while He was walking, carrying that cross, that was part of His joy.
Amen.
And that He just asked me, He said, can you keep walking for me now? His love for Him just overwhelmed me. Just praise God for His love for us. Mm. I just felt so refreshed in that this morning again. Thank you.
Amen. Praise God. Amen. Up here is one, Robert. Brother Luke, is that correct? Get your hand up. Somebody was pointing to someone here.
I'll take it.
Go ahead, Luke. Yes.
Todd, yes, Mel, I want to thank you for this. And I, too, want to honor my Lord for what He has done for me. Oftentimes, we think of a testimony as the life of sin we were in, the pit we had, and how He has saved us out of that. And too often it ends there, that... and then they lived happily ever after, or then they were perfect ever after. But but that's not the case. So certainly I needed that. I was in sin and I need the Lord to save me. But more and more I keep realizing that I still need Him.
Amen.
That I can't go on in life without Him. That yes, we needed Him to bring us up to that point of salvation, but I need Him to keep going. I need His intercession for me there in heaven daily. When I fall short in sin, I need Him to have an abundant life on this earth to carry me through those discouraging times, to just see me through the end. So, yes, we needed the Lord to get us out of that pit, but we need Him to carry us on to the end.
Amen. Good, Luke. Amen. Thank you. Eva, go ahead.
I want to praise the Lord, too, for bringing me out of a place of discouragement. And I guess before I was born again, for years I struggled with feeling like this awful, ugly person on the inside, and I couldn't share with anybody because they're going to think I'm crazy. They're going to just think I'm mentally crazy. And for years I kept it inside, just becoming more miserable, trying hard to do what was right. I was, to a large extent, I was taught what was right and wrong, and I tried hard to live that way, but finally I was so miserable I decided it wouldn't be more painful to open up. So I opened up, and ever since that was when I just poured out. That was the time I was born again, and ever since that I've been so blessed that I can just open up to people and just share. And it's been since then there's just been years of healing, and I just praise the Lord for that.
Amen. You know, opening up to the Lord is like, I like to make the analogy of pus, that is, you know, the wound or a sore that is affected with pus. You know, you prick that thing open and the pus drains out, and you apply the antiseptic, healing takes place. When those issues of your life are opened up, you are draining the spiritual pus spiritually, and the antiseptic of the blood of Christ is applied, healing begins to take place. Wholeness. Go ahead, Brother George.
Yes, it's a blessing to be here. Every part of the service is a blessing. And I just was touched by Brother John Mark's children's lesson about being wise. And some of those thoughts that come into our minds are not wise to keep them there and to think about things, but rather to give thanks. And I want to give thanks to God for the work that He's doing in my heart as well. I don't want to be unwise and think about how far I fall short, but to give God praise because He is working in my life, and I want to thank Him for that. I just want to say that I've noticed that when people come to our door, like Jehovah Witnesses, for instance, I used to like look around for Lisa. She knows a lot about the Jehovah Witnesses' beliefs and things like that, and she can debate and kind of share with them in that way. And I know a little bit, but I'm always looking for her to come in and help me out. Well, they had come like about 3 months ago on an early Saturday morning, and I was up and I was just cooking some bacon on the griddle here, and I invited them in, and it was very cold out, and they said, "Well, thank you. You know, usually people don't invite us in, you know, but thank you for doing that." "Oh, yeah," I said, "come on in. I want to share with you."
Amen.
You know, and I started sharing what Jesus Christ has done in my own life, and we were talking for about a half hour, and it was a blessing to me after they left that I didn't need Lisa to come alongside me. You know, I felt like the Holy Spirit was there guiding me and giving me words to speak when, you know, I wasn't nervous, and it was just a blessing. And then last weekend, we had some friends from Connecticut who were in the same place that I grew up in as far as religion, and they saw a baptism. And it was amazing what they were able to see and hear. And then we had them for dinner later on, and usually we're kind of waiting for them to ask us questions about, you know, about God. And our families don't do that. You know, we wait and wait, and they don't do that. And we don't open our mouths a lot of times. And I was just thinking, you know what? We have the truth. I'm going to open my mouth. I'm just going to ask, you know. But anyways, before I did, they asked us what kind of Mennonites we are. And so that just opened up a whole new, another way to share. We went back to the 1700s and how the Mennonites, you know, broke off the Catholic Church and all that type of stuff. But it was a blessing to share with them the Word of God. We opened up the Bible. We weren't nervous. We were just, again, lifting up the truth of God's Word and lifting up Jesus Christ. And it was a blessing. Amen. We felt like, you know, we shine for Christ. And it was a blessing to do that.
Amen. Anyone more? Anyone else?
I just wanted to thank God and to bless Him this morning for what He has done in my life. Also,
a little louder, Hugo. Okay.
And for the reality of God and His love that I have in my life now that I had so long desired to have. When I got born again about like 7 months ago, I had been living in a lot of rebellion and also depression and discouragement. And after I was born again, there was a freedom in my life, but when it just seemed when the temptations came again to give in to rebellion and discouragement, I'd fall again into it And there was also that area in my life I often gave into doubts about God, about the existence of God, and just seemed I couldn't really have victory, and I'd fall again, and then I'd repent and get up for a while, but the temptation would come again, and I'd fall and go down into discouragement, depression for days, and I can see through all those days. I mean, I had in my heart, I was telling God that even when I had repented and I was living, I had joy and peace in my heart again. It seemed in my heart I was telling God, I'll trust you, God, if you know, if you'll do this for me, and if you know, I was just telling Him, I'll trust Him if, and yet I was in my heart, I knew that if it's going too hard for me and I can't, and I just see that I can't handle it anymore, I'm just going to leave God. I mean, and just go into the world because, you know, because I don't know what else to do. And it kept going like that for a while, but there was a deep desire in my heart to follow after God and to feel His love, and yet to have Him in reality and also His love in reality in my life, but I had a rebellious heart often, and then it came to the place God brought me to a place where I was going through a deep trial that I really didn't have control over. I mean, I just realized there was nothing I could do, to get me out of it. And in the midst of all that darkness that I was facing, I just realized how much that I need God, and that and I came to the place where I told God that I will trust Him no matter how dark it is. And then I just cast myself onto God and believed Him that though I can't see any way out of this, and though it's so dark, I just can't do anything except hold your hand, God, that I'm going to trust you. And when I realized that, how much I really need God, and that I can't make myself righteous, I can't get myself out of this, and how that I really deserve hell. I mean, all the rebellion in my life, God just worked a brokenness in my heart, and I just realize if God doesn't have mercy on me, then there's no hope for me. And I just praise God. He worked a brokenness in my heart to where I repented, and I just totally gave myself to Him, committed myself to Him, to follow Him, to trust Him no matter what. And I just praise Him for His mercy that He had on me, because I know that I didn't deserve it, but I'm just so thankful. And I know that I still face struggles from my past, but I believe that God will continue to heal me and to bring me through. And I'm experiencing the love of God in a way I never did when I was only telling Him I'll trust Him if He does this for me and that. And I just thank God for His love and for what He has done and for what He is and will continue to do in my life.
Thank you, Sheila. I pray that the Lord would prompt you this morning to share your testimony. Amen. Such a joy. You know, 4 days before Sheila left our home is when that happened. I got to experience, see it happening in her heart when she just came to the place, Lord, I'll trust you no matter what. That's when heaven broke open to her soul. God bless you, Sheila. Such a delight to see you serving the Lord and walking with Him.
Yes, I thank the Lord for the way He's led here today. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt His name together. I sought the Lord, and He heard me, and delivered me from all my fears. I also have a testimony like Mel, where I had a lot of fears in my life.
Mm-hmm.
From a young age, I was involved in immoral fantasies and so forth, and became darkened through that, became fearful through that, couldn't look people in the face. Finally got to a place where I was, you know, mentally disturbed. I drive by the mental institution in our area there, and I'd look out and see the people sitting on the steps smoking, and the thought would come to me, you know, that's where you're going to be. Just a matter of time. That's where you're headed. And finally started having panic attacks. Remember, I went to a rock concert in Philadelphia there, and right there in the middle of it, I just had a panic attack. I had to get out of there. And, you know, the guy told me, you can't leave here. You know, if you're not getting back in. I said, I don't care. Just let me out of here. And so I got out and just stood on the steps there and was just, didn't know what was going to happen. I thought I was going to explode. I just was in panic. Got to the point where I was afraid to leave the house, you know, afraid of everything. And God in His mercy sent somebody to me. One day, a couple of hippies who just got saved knocked on our door, bare feet. It was my cousin from Colorado. And he'd been saved maybe a year or two, I don't know. But he hitchhiked all the way from Colorado to South Carolina to see his parents. Well, they were up at my sister's wedding in Philadelphia. So they gave him a rental car to come up and stay, you know, since everybody was up there. So here they came barefooted and two little babies, a one-year-old and a three-year-old, I think it was. And for the first time, I saw something that I had never seen before. And I took him into the kitchen, and I just was so attracted to him. And when I heard that he hitchhiked, I said, how did you do that? Weren't you afraid something bad would happen, you know? And he said, no, he says, we trust God. God always leads us. And he shared with me how he got one ride. He got one ride all the way from Denver to Tennessee. And he just shared with me how the Lord provided and how the Lord answered. And I, you know, for the first time, I saw somebody that had something that was greater than fear. And God used that to inspire me. And we sort of kept in touch over the months after that. And then he invited me to come out to Colorado to visit him. I said, yeah, I need to do that. You know, I'm just so bound up and I want to do that. So I got a plane ticket. And I was all set to go. And I had a fear grip me all of a sudden. And I said, I'm not going out there. And I called his wife up that night. He wasn't home. And I said, I can't come. And she said, look, just call us in the morning. The plane was leaving at like 9 in the morning, the next morning. So I called him, he called me. That's right, he called me at 5 in the morning. His time, 7 my time. And he said, you know, come on out. Why aren't you coming? And I said, well, I'm afraid I'm going to freak out. And he said, well, we can handle a freak out. And just that attitude of faith. And that just encouraged me. And I told my mother, I said, all right, let's go. Let's get in. We didn't have any time. It was 7 o'clock. Our flight was leaving at 9. We got in the car. We went to the airport. And we flew over there. And God just met the desire in my heart. I remember sitting in the garden with these three hippie ladies that had recently were converted, and they're having a little Bible study. And I was just weeping, just crying as I heard God's word, and just, this is an answer. This is what I've been looking for. And I don't know exactly when I got saved. I can't say that exactly. But Jesus said, if you continue in my word, you shall know the truth. And the truth shall make you free. And that is my testimony, that God has continually made me free and more free as I've continued in His Word. And He's delivered me from all my fears. I just wanted to praise His name today for that and just add my little testimony to the pile of His glory. Amen.
Praise God. Go ahead, Luke.
Yes, Brother Paul, thank you for reading the scripture for me that I was hunting for. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord, the humble shall hear thereof and be glad. I'd like to read Psalm 61. Hear my cry, O God, attend unto my prayer. From the end of the earth will I cry unto thee. When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. For thou hast been a shelter for me, and his strong tower from the enemy. I will abide in thy tabernacle forever. I will trust in the covert of thy wings. Selah. Stop and think about that a while. For thou, O God, hast heard my vows. Thou hast given me the heritage of those that fear thy name. Thou wilt prolong the king's life and his years as many generations. He shall abide before God forever. O, prepare mercy and truth which may preserve him. So will I sing praise unto thy name forever, that I may daily perform my vows. Somehow, the ability to do that which God wants comes as we praise Him and are joyful in Him, and our joy flows out of them walking with Him. I'm going back some ways this morning, and I'm actually standing up here because I was afraid if I wouldn't, Sister Jackie would call out my name. We were downstairs in the kitchen doing some things in preparation for Wednesday night. There's some arrangements that had to be made. And as we were working, I was sharing of what God had done in my life recently. And she said, "Didn't you hear, Brother Mel?" She said, "You need to share that." And as I pondered, I thought, that is right. That God has done such wondrous things. It seems like God is doing a work in my heart of taking me back and showing me where I've come from and the great things He's done for me through circumstances. The one is just this past week having a phone call from a friend from Bedford from 25 years ago. 20 years ago, we haven't had much contact, saying, "Mom died." They're Seventh-day Baptist people, but there was a close friendship. And we went out, felt God lead us to go to that funeral. And there were many contacts and visits, some of our former neighbors, and were able to share. And found out they had watched this poor man running through life, beating his head against the wall, so to speak. And they prayed for us at that time. That was really overwhelming to me. There were people that I think in my heart, they were friends. But as far as spiritual things, I think I would have kind of not really counted on them. And that was very humbling. Then I was able to share what God did in the meanwhile. And that seemed to have a very profound effect. And then the other thing that God did is here a week or so ago, late one night, Brother Roy Ulrich called and wondered if we could take care of the booth at the curriculum fair the next morning. And I said, "I'd like to, brother." He apologized, but he said, "Something happened." And I said, "I'd like to, but my day's planned. I don't see how, but give us a little time." And, you know, as we talk, one of our family said, "Well, I'll do this for you, that needs done." And another one said, "I'll do that." And so ended up, my daughter Judith and I could be there. And I struggled with it, wondering what I'm doing there. But we had many blessings that day, and among those, not the least, was one that I'd like to share. A man walked in there, I'm going to say 35, 40 years old, and he had a real interest, and I thought I should know him. And finally I spoke to him, and for the next perhaps hour we were in deep conversations of questions. He remembered me from being along with his father in the Sacred Heart Hospital in Cumberland, Maryland. A mental institution with bars on the windows and the doors a lockup, where they had put me because society could not handle me, and had told me that this is for life this time, that you would never be free again. And while I heard the words, yet something in me cried out and said, "No, there's got to be more to life than this." Sitting there day after day with no hope, just my sins just weighing me down, no hope for the present or the future, just sitting there day after day looking at the floor with thousands of feet walking past in front of me, but nothing moved me with all the commotion. And all of a sudden there's like this light walked through that room, through that hall, and these eyes that had not looked up for a long time lifted up and looked at what they're seeing. And I, for years, I thought that man was dressed in white. He smiled to me, he spoke a few words. This man that I spoke with at the curriculum fair came in with his father at those times, and he remembered me. And his question was, "Luke, whatever happened to you between then and now, I remember the darkness, the despair, going home and just having pity on this man that there seems to be no hope. His question was, what happened between then and now? And as I shared, he was greatly encouraged because now he is facing a hard time in life. And he has to make some decisions. It's like God is calling him that there's a deeper life than just religion, that there's more to life than just a good life and being in a church. And he's having to make some hard decisions. And he found it such an encouragement. But again, going through that, I just wanted to share that. It caused me to look back and marvel at all that God has done. But more than that, beyond that, it did something that I have again and again remembered, that I tend to think we need words to say the right thing, and that's right. But whenever I think back of that time, that man walking through that building, just glowing like a light. For years I thought he was dressed in white, and now I realize he had on black shoes, black pants, black suit, black hat, just like the other two men with him. But he glowed. I believe he came right from the presence of God. And that is a continuing challenge to me, to walk with God in such a way that when someone meets me, that they meet the presence of God.
Amen, Luke. That's a beautiful testimony. We're living epistles known and read of all men. May we shine forth the glory of our Lord. Merle, go ahead.
Amen. I don't want to say many words. I've shared in various forms the last number of weeks and months about what God's done in the last half year, but just as I was hearing you share your testimony, I was thinking, you know, I've never struggled with depression. I never struggled with fear in my life, as a prevailing thing. My struggles were completely different. But the answer is the same. Just to let go. Amen. Stop striving for me. It was doing it myself. Doing my own work and things like that. And it's so amazing how though you can be at polar opposites. Just last Sunday I was talking with a brother last week and talking about being optimistic, and that's who I tend to be. And we were just kind of talking about that, and I was just thinking about the polar opposites between somebody who's way negative and fearful and looking on those things, but the answer is the same. And that picture we saw this morning of the cross.
Amen.
And just resting.
Amen.
And just giving it all up. And coming to a place where it's not our will anymore. And not even our means. Only His means. It's one thing to give up our will. It's another thing to even give up our means. And so I just wanted to say amen. And thank God for that rest in Jesus Christ.
Amen, bro. It's good to hear you share over and over again what you found the last 6 months. Is there anyone else? I don't want to short. Go ahead, Linda.
Yeah, I just felt like as I listened to the rest of you this morning, God brought me out of, depression too. It was more or less an upbeat side. I mean, I was more one where I dealt with depression in a different form. But God took me from not able to do anything, not able to hold a job, not able to function socially in an appropriate way. And God had His ways of leading me throughout life that I've been so blessed to look back on, because it's quite a merry-go-round. It was only His grace and His love toward me that He brought me out of that. But I went through a number of times in the hospital in the behavioral health unit for maybe a couple weeks at a time. And I remember thinking, when I was told at one point that my life was going to be this way for the rest of my life, I mean, you know, I might never be much different. And I remember how that was so devastating to me as I thought about that. I guess in my heart there was something that cried out and said, there's got to be more than just hopelessness here. Somehow I've been created for a purpose that's greater than this. And I guess with that in my heart, there was such a despair that I had basically just began to live life carelessly and to choose. You know, I didn't know the Lord. I grew up in a setting that was religious, and there was the Word, but there just was not, I don't know, the light was not there. I don't know if anybody directed me to the Word in my depression, but God, through a series of circumstances, brought me to Lancaster County. And I look back on that and I see His hand in it all. It was a blessing indeed. And Brother Claire Zimmerman, I stayed at his place for the first 2 months of my life here in Lancaster County. And I guess then Merle Weaver would have started to work with me. He showed me scripture and said that it didn't need to be this way. And one of the first verses I think that he showed me was the fact that God hath not given us a spirit of fear, but of love and of peace and of a sound mind. And when he done that, something inside of my heart witnessed that that was truth. And I grabbed a hold of it with a desperateness that it took me a month or so to really for that to sink in to the point where I was willing to take steps forward. But there was a desperateness there that I dumped everything aside and I took a leap forward that I thank God for. And it's been a challenging 3 years, but God has seen me through it all. And I often wonder why I've stuck through it, but I guess there's a burning desire in my heart to lift up the testimony of glory and honor for my Savior, because His Word is truth and it does answer. It does meet the needs of our lives. I thank God. It's a testimony of what He's done, and He's still working. I just praise Him.
Amen. Thank you. I think there's a sister over here.
Yes, it was a couple of weeks ago. I came to the church meeting with just a lot of burdens on my heart and was just feeling kind of overwhelmed. And then Brother Mel, you gave a message on the joy and liberty of the Christian life, and I was feeling anything but that way at that point, but I just really appreciated all the scriptures that were shared. They really spoke to me. But then afterwards, one of the sisters was sharing, and she mentioned something about being, knocked down by one wave and then not getting back up again, and then the next wave coming, and they're all getting mixed together. And I felt very much that way. I shared that with her afterwards. But I just want to testify that the Lord has been faithful, even though the waves still keep coming. There isn't any end in sight right now, and you know, the seas are pretty rocky, but I'm just thankful that the Lord has just been with me through all these things, and I don't know. I'm able to, He's just given me the grace to handle a lot of things that I know that in my flesh I never could have handled by myself. Thank you.
Amen. Thank you, sister. Is there anyone that wants to make a confession yet and needs prayer with all the testimonies that have been shared? Maybe there's a confession someone would like to make yet. Maybe you're in need of... Go ahead, Ann. I'm sorry.
This is not a confession, but I'd like to just testify to what God has done in my life and the deliverance that He's brought in delivering me from depression and a lot of fears that really... I was just really paranoid about a lot of things. And I'm just so thankful that God is faithful. And lately I've been thinking a lot about the verses in Psalm 23 that talk about how He restores my soul. And I just want to testify that that is true, that Amen. God really does Amen. Restore our soul and restore our emotions on a deep level. And I just want to underline something that Brother Mel said about waiting on the Lord. And those of you that still feel like you're walking through a valley or a difficult time, just keep waiting on the Lord and just keep resting, because He is faithful and He does restore our souls.
Amen. Thank you, sister. Oh, it's such a joy to hear these testimonies. We can't hardly get done, and you all can't hardly get done. It's a blessing. Robert, you had one yet?
Yeah, I'll never forget 4 years ago when I met Merle at a trade show in York, and I was working for a Canadian company. I asked him, I said, if you're into religion, just forget it. And he said, no, I'm into Jesus Christ. And I didn't know what to say. So the next day he gave me his Bible, and Beth made some food, and she gave me some pastries of some sort. But then I met Claire. And I'll tell you, I was overwhelmed with fear in my life because I knew I was going to die, and I never knew where I was going to go. But through God's love and the patience Claire and Merle had with me, I can't tell you how fortunate I am. We all go through tribulations up and down and waves and everything, but we just have to hang in there because we're going to spend an eternity with Him. And for everything we put forth, God will step forth for us. So I just praise Him, and I love coming here every Sunday, and I love being around brothers and sisters, and I just ask for your prayers daily, and I will pray for you in return. In Jesus' name, I love them. Amen.
It's a joy to see you, Robert. Amen. Your bright face since you're converted, and the joy of the Lord upon your heart. Any confession yet, or someone wants to make and just in need of prayer with all that we've heard? My desire was for this to be a family meeting this morning, and it is that. So I just want to give it yet as anyone has a desire and need of prayer. Okay, let's sing one verse of To God Be the Glory, and then I'll give it to you, Mary.
Thank you for listening. We hope this message has blessed you. If you would like additional messages or a catalog, please visit our website at ccfsermons.org. Call us at 855-55-CHARITY or write to us at Charity Christian Fellowship, 59 South Groffdale Road, Leola, PA, 17540. This ministry is supported by your donations. May Jesus Christ be Lord of all.